It's a fact that while most of us have seen or heard the cartoon voices of Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd, and Daffy Duck, few of us have given much thought to the creator of those voices. Dan Haber was interested in the man behind the voices, and Sunday thought this visit with Mel Blanc would interest you.
When did you first discover that you could make a living doing the voice of a rabbit? Rather odd profession.
Well, actually, I got into the business 43 years ago. I was in radio prior to that time, and when I came down to Los Angeles from Portland, Oregon, I understand that they had an opening for voices at Schlesinger Cartoons. So I went in there, and I went to the man who was in charge of hiring people, and he said, no, I'm sorry, we have all the voices we need. Well, I was pretty persistent. I went back in a couple of weeks, and I said, look, won't you at least listen to me? He said, no, I told you we have all the voices we need. After a year and a half, this guy died. So I went to the next man in charge. His name was Treg Brown. Treg said, sure, let's hear what you have. So I auditioned for him, and he got a kick out of it. Said, would you do it again for the directors? So I auditioned for them, and one of the directors said, I have a cartoon coming up with a drunken bull. Do you think you can do the voice of a drunken bull? He said, what would he sound like? I said, well, he would sound like it was a little loaded. It was looking for the sour mash. He said, great, what are you doing next Tuesday?
How did you think of a voice for a drunken bull? I mean, how do you go about designing these voices?
Well, they show me the character in a picture, a still picture, and they tell me what he's going to do in the cartoon. And from this, I have to create a voice, like Bugs Bunny, they said, was a tough little stinker, and I had to get a tough voice for him. So I wondered, which is the toughest voice in this country, either Brooklyn or the Bronx?
So I put the two of them together, Doc. That's how I got the voice for Bugs.
How did Porky Pig come into fruition?
Well, Porky, you know, after I did this drunken bull, why, Schlesinger called me and said, I got a little pig here. And I want him to speak. His name is Porky Pig. So I tell the kids, you know, I speak at many colleges. And I tell the kids I wanted to be real authentic about it. So I went out to a pig farm. And I wrestled around with the pigs for about 2 weeks. And finally, when I found out how they spoke, I went back to the office, and I told them. He said, and they kicked me out and said, go home and take a bath, which I did. When I come back, I said, if a pig could talk, he'd talk with a grunt. You know, oink, 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 oink.
That's where I got the voice for Porky. It will be with a grunt.
What about Daffy Duck?
Oh, Daffy, they showed me this crazy little duck, and I knew he had a long beak. He'd have a little trouble speaking, but they said he was a screwy little animal. And so I thought I'd give him a kind of a screwy voice. So I knew the beak would make it a little difficult for him to speak, but still he had to be understandable.
So I gave Daffy sort of a voice like this.
Okay, I'll just run through some of the characters for the people who may not realize you were behind all of them. Sylvester the Cat, Speedy Gonzales, Pepe Le Pew, Yosemite Sam, Barney Rubble of the Flintstones, Foghorn Leghorn. How about Tweety Bird? I thought I saw a putty cat come from.
Well, they showed me this little baby bird. I thought he should have a baby voice. So I gave him a baby voice.
Oh, I thought I saw a putty cat. I did see a putty cat.
Oh, suffering succotash. You bet he saw a putty cat.
That's Sylvester.
Yeah, that's right. And perhaps the toughest voice I do was that of Yosemite Sam. That's a real raucous character that talks like this. Yes, sir, my name's Yosemite Sam.
Of all the characters you do you have a favorite? Does one really stand out for you?
Yeah, I think Bugs does. He seems to be the most popular. You mentioned that, I do the voice of Bugs Bunny, and they say, oh, yeah, sure, I know him. But they might have a little trouble remembering some of the others.
Has there ever been a voice that you do that you have not created yourself?
The only one was Elmer Fudd. That was created by Arthur Q. Bryan. And he died about 30 years ago. And Fritz Freleng came to me and said, he's one of the directors, he said, Mel, can you do Elmer Fudd? So I said, Frizz, you know I don't like to imitate anybody. Try to get somebody else. So he tried, couldn't find anybody. Finally came to me, he said, Mel, it's just a couple of lines. Won't you try it? I said,
I'll try, but I don't know if I could do it or not.
He says, that's it. So I've been doing it ever since.
Now, you're currently doing Tweaky and Buck Rogers.
Yeah, that's one of the new ones. And then I have another one coming up of the little cat that's in the cartoons. His name is Heathcliff. Heathcliff is a crazy little character. He's, he robs the fish market and gets away. The pond is always after him, and he gets away from everybody. And he does crazy things, and Spike, this big bulldog that's always after him.
I do the voice for him, too. That's a low-down voice that's after that cat.
And Heathcliff talks more or less like this here. He's a tough cat in the hand. That's the way he talks.
How did Tweaky come to be?
Well, Tweaky, I auditioned over there at Universal. They called me over, and I did several different voices, and they picked this one. I guess they seem to like that the best. Tweaky is...
Buck, you're my kind of guy.
That's Tweaky's voice. I do that without even looking at the character's actions. In fact, all the voices are done prior to the time that the cartoons are drawn, you know. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Doesn't that cause you some trouble?
No, it's much easier that way because they draw after you make the voice. They draw to your voice. The animator has a desk in front of him with a character of just a blank Bugs, and he has a mirror in front of him that he can look into, see his own lip movements. And, like, for example, I'll say, what's up, Doc? He will look into the mirror and say, and draw his mouth movements on Bugs. And that's the way they do with a whole picture on fully animated cartoons.
About 19 years ago, you were involved in a rather serious accident.
Yeah, that's right. I was almost killed. In fact, I was so far gone, they had me in the obituary column in Honolulu.
I have heard a story concerning that accident for years, that you were able to speak to people in the voice of Bugs Bunny. Is that true?
I tell you how that happened. That is true. Because this doctor would come in, this brain specialist. I had a triple skull fracture. And he came in every day and he said, how are you feeling today, Mel? He wanted to see if I was ever coming out of it. And I wouldn't answer him. He got an idea. And my wife and son were in the room at the time, and they swear that this is true. He came in one day and he said, hey, how are you today, Bugs Bunny? And I said,
just fine, Doc. How are you?
So that actually happened. I don't remember ever saying it, but my wife and son swear that this is true. Sounds like a real fishy story, but they wouldn't tell me unless it was true.
It's an amazing story. Obviously, you're pretty close to Bugs.
Yeah, well, I figured I was dead, but my characters were still alive.
You have a very special gift. I don't think it's something that can be learned. You just got it. Is that correct?
Well, I was x-rayed. I went to take an insurance on my throat, and I was x-rayed by a doctor, and he came in shaking his head. I said, something wrong? He said, no. He says, but this is the first time I ever saw the same muscular construction in the person's throat as that of Enrico Caruso. I said, well, I can't sing like him. He said, no. He says, but you have the same muscular construction, which will enable you to gain your voice back after you get real hoarse within an hour.
Well, were you able to do this when you were young?
I used to do mostly dialects when I was just a kid. I never realized that I could do the different voices.
Were you one of those terrors in school, the class clown?
No, I wasn't. I was pretty well liked. I used to entertain the kids at assemblies. I'd get big laughs from the kids, and the teachers would give me big laughs and then lousy marks.
Is there anything that I may have left out here?
No, just I want Porky to say goodbye to everybody.
Well, I was going to ask, so go ahead, Porky, go ahead.
Okay, come here, Porky, and say goodbye to him, will you?
Yeah, you will. But I will. So long, so long, Canada, so long, that's all, folks.
Spoken well, O Royal Pig. And that's how we end this first edition of Sunday Sunday.
Our reports came from John Wilson on the prairies, Ben Steinfeld of the Futures Conference in Toronto. John Hinnan talked to humble Howard Cosell, and Bev Moman had the conversation with Emmy. Trish Wood was in New York, Clint Nickerson was in Las Vegas, and Dan Haber found Mel Blanc at work in Hollywood. Bev Bowman traveled to several centers in Ontario for her report on wife beating. On behalf of Bev Bowman, this is Robert Holliday looking forward to another visit next week.
This has been Sunday Sunday. Produced by Clint Nickerson. Executive producer, Robert Holliday. Our reporters return in 7 days.